I think we are joined. Are we joined by Yakov Rabkin? Is he on the line? Hello? Well, almost. I hear a nice voice. It sounds a bit like Yakov Rabkin. We're experimenting. Isn't it great? This is live radio. This is something that is pre-recorded, etc. We take our chances. If we're going to reach a great thinker who is making himself available, we will do everything we can. Currently, we are attempting to reach Mr. Rabkin by Zoom. And we almost made it. We're still making an effort. We'll get a few words in from him. I'm hopeful. And if not today, then perhaps in another week. I know he's a very generous, well-spoken individual. He has important message. I'll tell you the backdrop, if we get him on the air, we'll be going into this. The Israeli ambassador to the United States gave a talk not long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite startling because he, as a title of some of the articles reporting, he's very harsh, and he basically was critical of the Jewish organizations that have shown a sympathy for the Palestinian question, on the Palestinian question, who want negotiated a settlement. They want recognition for the Palestinian state, etc. This ambassador now calls them one, and the organization he's attacking is called J Street. Now, most people engaged in demonstrations or concerned about Gaza, whatnot, they're aware of J Street. J Street is a liberal organization. Its sympathies politically would be towards the Democratic Party. And
now I can hear you.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I
hear you. And we're going to take the few minutes that are available today and ask you this. What I was just explaining that.
But I can hear you, but with an echo. Kind of.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you. What was the Israeli ambassador doing in criticizing liberal Jews, Mr. Senator Sanders, and the J Street, and calling them a cancer?
Okay.
Can you speak to that?
Yes, I can. Well, are we on air?
Yes, you're on air.
Okay. Well, this doesn't surprise me because the interest of Israel and the Zionist movement in general is not identical with the interests of Jews, and very often it's antithetical. It's against the interest of Jews. For example, Jews in Canada argue for equal rights for different ethnic and religious groups, whereas Israel practices discrimination, and some people say apartheid. So there is a cognitive dissonance among those who support Israel, but at the same time support a very different set of values in their own countries. Now, for the Israeli ambassador to call these liberal Jews cancer makes sense because they undermine the pretense of the State of Israel that it is a Jewish state and it represents all Jews in the world. So they, these liberal Jews, and moreover anti-Zionist Jews, who are not necessarily liberal, because there are many ultra-Orthodox Jews who are anti-Zionist, and I wouldn't call them liberal, many of them are undermining the whole narrative of Israel. And now that Israel is so much hated around the world for what it's been doing in Gaza and Lebanon and in Iran, the ambassador lost his cool and he said what he thinks. So I think it makes sense.
Isn't that been a problem that is now, of course, out in front of everybody? But this argument has been fundamental from the beginning of the project for a Zionist or state in the area, region of Palestine.
True. In my recent book, Zionism Decoded in 101 Quotes, I bring the quote from Theodor Herzl, who is the founder of the Zionist movement, and he says, "Anti-Semites will be our best friends, and anti-Semitic countries will be our best allies." And that's how it has been. So for Jews, of course, it doesn't mean anything good. I think that statement is very important to wake up quite a few Jews who are not aware of what Israel is, and also for many, for general society, to understand that identifying Jews with the state of Israel is, to put it mildly, a mistake.
Hmm. Your book argues, does it not, that there is the fundamentalist that we see, I mean, the Christian element, for example, and people that take the Bible literally, are up against and are trying to prevail over people who have what we should call it, humanitarian approach to political issues, and it's almost like liberalism versus reaction.
Well, not quite. Indeed, those who started a new religious movement in Israel, that they called Dati Leumi, which is translated National Judaism, it combines commitment to Zionism with ritual observance of Judaic commandments. But it's a new phenomenon, because they read the Bible, as you said correctly, they read the Bible literally, the Torah. And whereas Jewish tradition, which is the Judaism we know for the last 2,000 years, the Judaism we know is based on interpretation, not on literal reading of the text. In that sense, these people like, well, Ben-Gvir is the best known, people like him are very close in their reading of the Bible to evangelical Christians, who, many of whom are Zionists, and support the State of Israel precisely because they read literally. Whereas other Jews, the Jews belonging to the tradition of the last 2,000 years, mm-hmm. There many of them are opposed to that, be they liberal, be they ultra-Orthodox.
In our contemporary situation, I think, hasn't there been kind of a shift based in world opinion based on the stance taken by the Netanyahu leadership following the October 7 attack? And then the Israeli attack on Gaza, people were shocked, and it was sort of, wasn't it a shift on the part of even Netanyahu himself that he suddenly invoked the Bible, saying Amalek is remember what Amalek did, and we're going to get. He used biblical language. I didn't remember him speaking that way previous.
You're right, he didn't, but. You see, the events of the Hamas attack on southern Israel in October 23 didn't change Israeli policy. The Israeli policy was always to create impossible conditions for living Palestinians in Gaza and now in the West Bank. So policy hasn't changed. What did change is the overt admission of what they want to do, namely target civilian population, because even the president of Israel, who is reputed to be a moderate person, said there are no innocents in Gaza. Well, if there are no innocents in Gaza, then you can kill everyone that moves. So Netanyahu just used the language that had been used by followers of National Judaism for quite a while. He borrowed that language from them. And it's very convincing because many soldiers who blow up hospitals and schools and whatever in Gaza chant Amalek, Amalek. So for them, it's really very encouraging that the prime minister uses this kind of rhetoric.
Yeah. We were so grateful that we were able to reach you by Zoom, Professor Rabkin, and we really admire your book, Dionysus Decoded in 101 Quotes. It needs to be widely circulated, and it should be a starting point for anybody hoping to understand the ugliness that is taking place in West Asia now with Israel attacking Iran. By the way, they use the word Amalek again when they talked about Iran. Please join us again when you get home, and we are so grateful you could join us. Thank you for making the effort. Thank you.
It was my pleasure, and anytime you want, I'll be ready.
We'll be talking to you soon then. Thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Taylor Report. We've had quite an adventure today. But hey, listen, I sound like the Big Lebowski. That's why people do tune in. That's why people who listen to CIUT is that you get a chance to talk through Zoom and a cobbled-together effort by brilliant people in our staff so that we get to hear the voice of a very brilliant scholar, Yaakov Rabkin. I think we are just about done. We'll be back, of course, in a week. And 33, 45, get my numbers right, 78 is in the building, by the way. This is something, you know, and Steve Fruitman. So you have something to look forward to, and we'll see you in a week.